everything that I say tonight ties in with this divine reality that Jesus has risen from the dead.
God is not a big talker. God backs His Word with His power.
Remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth? The guy comes up with cancer. He's got a prayer line for healing. And he says, what's the matter with him? He's got cancer. Smith Wigglesworth says, where is it? And they say, right here. Smith Wigglesworth punches him right in that spot. He winds up, hits him right on the spot. The guy drops faint. They thought he died. And they said to him, he's dead. And he looks back. He's praying for other people at this point. He looks back. He says, he's healed. And they say, you killed him. He said, he's healed. And a minute later, the guy in his little hospital nightgown, the whole bit, starts running around the church, totally healed.
David Livingston, pioneer missionary in Africa. He said, on the following words, I staked everything, and they never failed. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Not just some sentimental fact that Jesus is with us, not just some feeling that we have, I know the Lord is with me. But the reality of His presence and authority in the midst of every kind of hostile territory and demonic situation with no believers off and around for miles and miles and miles as far as you could go. But He staked everything on the fact that Jesus said, I'm with you.
I remember this story this one brother tells. He's out somewhere ministering, and these other two brothers, a leader of the two leaders of the ministry, want him to join them to pray for this one gal that's being sent out as a missionary. So he's like, sure. And so they're praying for this gal. She's sitting in a chair. Nice, sweet missionary girl. They start praying for her, and the Lord gives this Graham Cook a word for her. And the word is this: I hate mommies and daddies. That's the word he got with no explanation. The way he tells the story is, it's at these types of moments I wish I was an evangelist and not a prophet. So as he tells the story, if I remember correctly, he's arguing with God about giving this word. What does that mean? What kind of nonsense is that? I hate mommies and daddies? But he cannot hold it back anymore. It's the Lord telling him to do this, so he says it. He speaks it out loud in front of these elders. The Lord wants you to know that He hates mommies and daddies.
Holy Spirit,
she looks up at him, turns every different color, and goes berserk. Goes into a fit, a rage, pain, venom, junk, wounds coming up. He ministers to her. He asks for the Lord to deliver and to heal. She becomes settled and at peace and whole. Because when she was little, she was molested continually by family members who called the acts of incest a game named Mommies and Daddies. People need the power. God doesn't pour His power out so that we'll become rich and famous. God pours His power out because people are dead, dead, dead. And they are dying. And they don't need a hug. They need a Smith Wigglesworth punch right in the gut.
It's reality. No other plan. No other way it's going to happen. And it's not because of our strength. It's because of His strength.
She did not need now be commissioned and da-da-da. She needed a word from heaven that would get the devil off her back from harassing her and playing right into those awful wounds that she had. In one word, in one session of prayer for her, she was delivered and whole. People need the power.
How he was reading from the words of Jesus in John 15, I am the true vine, and was majoring on the I am part and said something very profound. When Jesus says, I am, it means you are not.
He doesn't develop his gift so that he'll have a ministry. If I may speak for him, I assume it's okay. Seems like a good man, and it's positive. He develops his gift sacrificially because people need his gift. He's a servant.
Deep down, deep within my spirit.
And if we do not have the mentality of a servant, we will not touch the glory of God. We will not know God as God. We will not be able to glorify Him effectively. And we will eventually destroy ourselves and others. Even a partial mixture is not welcome at fire. Let's just lay it there.
It's reality. Nor the plan.
We will not even allow a bit of a mixture of self-promotion and performance. This is the school of the young prophets. They are broken. Their eyes look somewhere else. And knowing Jesus and being intimate with Him and pleasing the Father is more important than even displaying these awesome acts of God in the earth like have not yet been seen anywhere. Because the issue with us is nothing except to please the Father and to serve this pathetically dark and dying world with the power. So let us check ourselves now. And let's apply very simply what Paul says. Have this mind. Have the mind. We have to start getting the mentality. You want to go after God and get the power and get the anointing? Go for it. That's what the Bible says. It's a loose translation, but that's what it says. Go for it. You should. But do you understand what Paul is saying? We want to serve people the power. We want to give them the kingdom, not just talk. Paul says the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. That should be our motivation. We should wear the mantle and the mentality of a servant.
I'll say again, faith is not fantasy. Faith takes hold of eternal reality. Faith is not the only thing. If you have faith but you don't have character, you're not going to make it. If you have faith but you don't walk in love, you're not going to make it. If you have faith and you play games with sin, you're not going to make it. But on the flip side, without faith, you're not going to make it. Without faith, you can't even please God. Because the most fundamental thing must begin with that you believe He exists, you believe He is, and you believe that He rewards you when you seek Him.